Now, Bill, I think when we got stuck there on that last thing, you were talking about wreckers, and I had asked you about, while we were on the subject, I had asked you about the automobile wrecks that might have occurred here in the county, and you had started to tell us about some of those.
That first wreck, that was at Miss Law's and me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was before we had wreckers to bring them in, so we brought they in skids. And, let's see. One of them, that was, Kelly Carver's daughter, married Nib Shaw.
Well, Mary Virginia.
Yeah.
All right.
She was in that car, and Gus Carl, I think her name was Virginia, but in the car. I think she was killed in it. That did right upside down Raccoon Creek.
That was down around Ladoga.
Yeah, south of Ladoga, first bridge there. And
didn't you say Tully Crabb was in the car too?
No, his daughter.
His daughter.
Oh, his daughter,
Virginia Shaw.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And you brought that car in, you said?
Yes, we brought that in to the citizens and sat there for as well as I remember, about a year and a half. And Miss Law died during that time. And we'd started to do some work on it. And he never got orders to repair it permanently, but we would just work on it at odd times. We'd ride something down, the boss would say, well, spend an hour or so on Miss Law's car, getting a dollar an hour then, you know, for labor. That is, he was getting that. We was getting about 18 bucks a week. It was all. And we had old several scattered around over the country that people killed, and we brought in this wreck down on the Big Four. It's the first job they ever done of the wreckers we got built. The passenger train hit the Wave and Rockville bus, belonged to Good Brothers. Killed, I think it was six people.
What year was that about?
Oh, gosh.
Well, you don't need it.
It was back about 25, around there.
Uh-huh.
You said earlier, Bill, that you had worked on the air-cooled cars, or the steam cars.
Yeah.
And that some of the people, there were a few electrics here. Did you ever work on the electric?
Never did.
You remember anybody who used those? They were for women mostly, weren't they?
Mostly women. There was two here in town when I come that was still running. But I don't know who they belonged to. And none of these were at all.
You were talking about tires too, Bill. We missed that on the tape there. You were mentioning about the tires in those old days.
The tires that the old Col 8, Lake Cap Iron had. Let's see, it was 33.5. And then they had a 37.5 on Cadillac. And a 35.5 on Cadillac. An old Esper Cunningham on the Waz had an Oldsmobile that was 42.5. And on tires, let's see, the Model T is 33.5 on the rear, 3x3 on the front. They used two different sizes when I was selling them. Did he, what was...
What kind of pressure did they keep in the tires?
They keep them 60 to 65 pounds in them. And some of them would go as high as 70. The smaller the tire, the more air they carried in them. That is a smaller diameter.
Now, you also mentioned earlier, Bill, about chauffeurs in town. You said Judge Thomas had a chauffeur.
Yeah, he had a chauffeur, and had an old Jeffries.
That was the name of the car?
Yeah, that was the name of the car. And I forget the kid's name, it was driving. In fact, he was the same one that was riding Miss Law's car the night she upset it in the creek there at Tioga.
Oh.
And he was supposed to take her car with her permission, see? Well, she claimed she didn't give him permission. So that was a handle over that. But he was the same part, but I can't think of his name.
Well, these were just young men living around town here, were they?
Young fellas.
Not necessarily mechanics.
They didn't work, so either wasn't mechanics either.
Mm. Were any of these fellas black chauffeurs, I mean Negro chauffeurs like they used to have in the big cities? Do we have any of those around here?
Didn't have any of them. Now, Wayne Davenport, he was a pretty well-to-do fellow before he died, and he was a chauffeur. He worked First Central Bank in daytime and chauffeured for a couple of old ladies here in town. I'll think of the name here tomorrow. We had Oakland 8. It was the one he drove. And I'm kind of rusty on some of this stuff. That's it, we have 50 years.
Yeah. Now, Bill, I thought it was sort of entertaining the way you sort of told about old man Durham. Tell us about that again. We missed that on
old Durham?
Yeah. What kind of a car did he have?
He had a Cadillac. And the reason I didn't know him so well, that we lived across the road on this Crockford place, across from the Durham land. There was 1,300 acres of that on the other side of the road. And he'd drive past there about twice a week. And he had a speed of about 12 to 14 mile an hour. Never saw him run over that. And this Cadillac he had was a 1915, the first 8 Cadillac built. And then after I moved to town, that is in 1915, he used to come past there, so then we moved to town in 1917, and then in 20, I guess it was, we get down to his house to sell him tires. And he'd meet you at the door, and he'd have on a pair of white gloves. And if you'd have to touch the doorknob going in, he'd wipe it off before you'd go sit down. And then if you'd get through talking to him, start to leave, he'd wipe the tear off as soon as you'd get out of it. So, that's about all I can tell you about him.
Let's see now, did we miss anything else in there, Bob, when we were...
I can't think of one, Bob.
We mentioned, we did cover the roads in the city. Another question I want to cover with you, Bill. In those old days, that was before the days when they had driver's licenses, wasn't it?
Yes.
You used to give driver's lessons, didn't you?
Yes. Used to, every time we sold a car, new or used, we'd have to go out and teach people to drive. Now, I remember, it's your mother-in-law, I guess.
Miss Curtis?
Curtis. I told her to drive, and I wouldn't say exact year. I remember the car very well. It was a Flint. And you didn't have any cranks on the windows. Instead of running up and down the crank, you'd pull them down where you wanted them and then tighten the button on them to hold the window where you wanted it. And we'd go out with people, and Wilcliffe Force's wife, they're dead now, they had a Packard, she wanted to learn to drive. So he came over to get me to go out with her to teach her to drive a car. Well, I'd been out with her for 6 months, I reckon, about 6 months every other day. And she'd always say, I put this foot here and put that one there and I'm going to do this. Well, she finally gets to the place, she backed out away from the house. So Cliff and his buddy went fishing one day. And as soon as he left, so she got the car and backed it out, drove it around the block. She got scared and nervous. So she drove in that brick house they lived in, there right back at the library. And some way she got messed up, she hit this house coming in. She called me up and wanted to know if I'd come up right away. Yeah, I went up there. And she says, get this car and take it down and fix it. Get back here before Cliff gets here.
Now that was Cliff Boris, you mean?
Cliff Boris.
B-O-R-I-S, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I looked at it. I told her, I said, well, Lizzie, we can't do a thing for that. She was not ordering parts first because she tore the front axle out from under. And I also tore a fender and a headlight off. Or she hit the car to the house. So, we just let him sit there. So Cliff came back. So then we picked it up and dragged it down to your house. Wait until we get parts.
Where would you take people to give them driver's lessons?
Here in town, start out here in town, and then go on out in the country with them. And take a little drive out the country. You'd see with the fellow, five or six trips. And you'd get him so he'd drive. Once in a while, you hit one that you couldn't do nothing with. Because he'd depend on you all the time to grab the wheel. And I remember one fellow in particular, which I'd learned to drive, well, I couldn't teach him nothing. So I told the boss about it, as a marshal, I was working for them. He says, well, I'll tell you what to do. He says, take him out here and get him high gear. He says, get him to one high. Well, forward, all he had to do was take the foot off the pedal and he was in high gear. And we had him out of the way and he took his foot off the pedal and I just opened the door on my side and got out. And waved at him goodbye.
Other words.
So he worked out all right. He got to depend on himself and drove all right. Then another time, we had a used car. That was one to sell, so his boss sent me out and said, try it out, the fella. This is a Model T. So we started down, I remember the street exactly. We went down Walden Street, we got on to Chestnut. We had to turn. Well, turn too short, and the steering gear turned wrong side out instead of going the other way. They had turned wrong side out with you, you know. So we got it straightened up, got back into garage with it. Had to put him in the steering gear before it sucked. You
know. Well, who was the fellow that owned the fanciest car that was ever in Crawfordsville?
Well, about the fanciest one we ever had here that lived here was old L.D. Coppedge. It was about the fanciest and about the nearest no count I ever saw.
What kind was it, Bill?
It was a Kissel.
Wasn't that made in Connersville?
No. I don't know where it was made. Lexington made in Connersville. This Kissel was all lolled up with wire wheel on it, painted real bright yellow, and the seat set real low, and on each side of it, he had a place for his golf bags. They just used it to go to the country club and back. And every time he'd get in with it, we'd have to clean the fart plug, clean the oil, it'd pile up, so. Then I think the next of that, the fanciest, was the Cadillacs. We had three or four Cadillac sedans in town, Cliff Horse on one of them. And Miss Law on one.
Were these touring cars or what were they?
They were sedans.
When did the sedans begin to come in, Bill? Weren't they touring cars, open cars mostly with side curtains and so on?
There was open cars and side curtains up to about 20. They bought some sedans in 1920.
That early?
Yes. That and Miss Law was a 1919. It was a sedan.
Well, Laws, L-A-W-S, is that the way you spell that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who was she or who was he?
Well, I don't know. She just a lady that took care of.
Yeah.
Secure her car there.
Bill, did anybody in town ever own one of these big fancy foreign cars, like a Rolls Royce?
First Rolls Royce that ever here in town was brought in by Ike Elson.
Oh.
And that was later years. That was back in that's in the 40s when he even had that.
Oh. Nobody ever had a, what about a Mercedes or a Minerva or a, I saw a Fashini or anything like that?
No.
None of those here?
No.
Uh-huh.
No? I was trying to think of a high-priced car they had here in town. But I don't know of anybody that had one then. The Studebaker Big Six used to be quite a car. And then the Premier. That's the Ethel Scott had that. She lived on Old Lace Avenue there.
Were there any Pierce Arrows in town?
There wasn't any Pierce Arrows here. They would come through here a lot and stop here. But there wasn't any here at this time.
Any big Packards or Lincolns?
No, there was a National, Miss McIntyre, I don't know her first name. She had a National 12, so soon. And L.W. Otto, he had a National, this is what they called the Big Six. It was pretty fancy. It was a big one.
A National 12, a 12-cylinder car?
Yeah.
Good day. Were they any good?
It was a pretty good automobile.
Well,
do pretty good. Well, it wasn't the International, it was the National.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Was there a Packard dealership in town at any time?
There never was a Packard dealership here in the early years. But there was a few Packard 12s. They bought them, Indianapolis. Now, Am Jones owned the Carver's Hotel there. He had a Packard 12. Mm-hmm. I never will forget that thing, because I ground 4 days, grinding the valves on it. Grinding by hand, you know. Sat on that thing for 4 days straight.
Oh, holy car. What year was the Packard 12?
Well, I judge it was...
In the late 30s?
No, it was scarce. No, it was back in the 20s, early 20s. I got dope on all of them in there.
Uh-huh. You've got a good library of old automobile mechanics books. What's going to happen to those books someday?
Oh, I don't know. Somebody throw them later.
Well, we don't want to let that happen. They ought to be in a museum or a...
They really should.
In a library.
Well, I've really got some old stuff there. It goes from 20 up to 74.
Uh-huh.
That's quite a few years.
It certainly is. It covers about the whole history of the automobile industry.
Yeah. Yes. But I've got one book here that will give you an idea of, I'll tell you, the first Cadillac that ever built.
Yeah. Go ahead. Bill's going to comment here on Bob's paper that he wrote about the old Model T.
Yeah.
Bill found some flaws in that. Bill, can you tell me what errors I made? You mentioned something about...
The worst one we made was on the brake. Bubba pulled the brake half on. Well, he pulled the brake half on Model T, and there was a button on the side that you just pull back, bolt head. In other words, pull back to hold the thing neutral. Now, in neutral, it would still take after you if you didn't have the brake pulled plumb back tight.
I see.
You saw or heard of a lot of fellows that started Model T and take after them.
Yeah, well, it happened to me, didn't it?
Yeah, well, that's because you didn't have the brake on.
Yeah.
Well, then, let's see, on the spark. That's on the right hand side. Now they push up to retard your spark. That simply retarded it, and you pull the lever down to advance it.
Was that? I had that reversed.
You had that just reversed to what it should be. Both of them push up. Your gas push up, your spark push up. And you want to pull the spark about halfway down to advance it. And don't never crank it with that over halfway down. If you pull it all the way down, kick you.
One thing I never understood, Bill, was what caused a car to kick when you were cranking it?
Timing too fast.
Is that it?
Yes. Well, that's what you done on the Model T. That's, on the average car, that's the timing. You pull that lever up and down, see? You pull it down, that spark come quicker, come sooner. It didn't get any hotter, it just come quicker.
Hmm.
And it's going to push it up. Now you take the present car with the starters and everything we have nowadays. Why, you kick once in a while. That's because your points got to adjustments. Now they get too fast, slip, get too fast. You have a light you can put on the motor and you write your name on the fan belt and talk or something to show up and you can read it and then motor on the timing lights.
I'll do that.
Yeah, you can read your name right off the fan belt and then run. Those lights are fast and sensitive, you know, that they catch it such.
The Model T, of course, had a four-cylinder motor. I have heard that the four-cylinder is the most efficient motor ever made. Would you agree to that?
No, I wouldn't. It was for life. That is, for sayability, that goes. It would last longer. If you run it at a reasonable speed, low speed. But if you want something to stay with you for high speed, you want a motor that is V8.
Oh, yeah.
Stay a lot longer. Run farther and... But the four-cylinder was the best motor, I think. It was built for slow speed.
Well,
I think that's about the end of our...
No, we appreciate that so much.
Been great.
Well, I'm glad to tell you what it could, huh?